listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/LaFever CFC. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Just going to make sure this is on and the guys on Zoom can hear me before we have Zoom rage. There was a whole heap of messages going around last week when I didn't have the microphone on and they couldn't hear a thing, and there was messages flying everywhere. So I want the guys online. They're all good. Ron, thumbs up. Good. Big hello to everybody online. Love you and love that you're there and love that you can be with us through Zoom. Well, thank you for communion, Hayden. That was just that sense of who Jesus is, the transformer, but who he is to each one of us. So special. We've been taking a series on the Jesus Church, and we looked at a Christ-centered community, and then we looked at the transforming message of Jesus Christ, and that message that we are identified with Christ, that we are joined with him through his life, his death, his burial, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. Through being in him, we're included into all of that, and that's just amazing, really. That to think that through belief in Jesus Christ, we get to be seated with him at the right hand of the Father. That's transformative. And it's an amazing message. Today I'm going to look at the radical call of Jesus. And next week Hayden's going to talk about us being the body of Christ. That is his church, that the church that is joined together then get to be his hands and his feet and be that body. But the radical call of Jesus, it is a radical call. Because when you talk about Jesus today, and you talk about following Jesus today, the predominant thought that comes to mind to most people in the Western world is probably boring, average, ordinary, cookie cutter, staid, lethargic, I don't know, whatever other word of mediocrity you can want to find. But that would be the predominant thought that people have about church and being a follower of Jesus. But it is anything but that. The call to follow Jesus, it's a radical call. It's a call to adventure. It's a call to rising above mediocrity. It's a call to responding to the creator of heaven and earth, that the God of heaven and earth, the God who was before time, actually is outside of time, outside of matter, outside of all of that, actually came in to time and matter, manifest himself, and then actually wants to speak to us, wants to call us, wants to touch our lives. Man, that's amazing. That's a radical thought that God, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is interested in me and you and says, come, follow me. Says, I've got something for you to do. That's amazing. And it's a radical call. And I know I've responded to his call for salvation, but also that call to follow. It's a life of excitement, of adventure, of opportunity, of risk, of faith, of daring, when we learn to hear his voice and follow and respond to that invitation. And it's not just the invitation to salvation. This is an invitation to follow, which is the normal life of the Christian. And for his church, this church, all churches, is that when the people who are believers gather together and they've responded to that call to follow, they do become an unstoppable force. We become a group of people that Jesus says, follow me and I'm going to use you to impact the nations. I'm going to use you to impact and work through you to impact people's worlds and people's situations and circumstances. What a radical call. It's quite audacious, really. It's pretty arrogant in one sense to actually say that we actually get to be some part of something that is going to change the world. Something that's been going on for 2,000 years, and that God calls us, or Jesus calls us, to be part of that and to be part of something that we believe, Jesus believed, would last forever, but it would be something that would change and impact this planet that we live on. And the church has for decades, for generation after generation, but the call still goes out for us to say, how are we going to respond to his call for the LaFever Peninsula, but maybe for your family, for your workplace, whether you work on the mines or whether you work in the city or whether you're at school, that God would call us to be there in that place, bringing transformation and change through us. That's the call that we respond to. The call of Jesus, it's a life transforming, but it's a world impacting call that he calls us to. It's personal, it's costly, and it demands a response. And we're going to look at five stories where Jesus interacts with people and calls them to him and then engages with him. And we'll start in Matthew. 13 times Matthew, the phrase "follow me" happens in the Gospel of Matthew. We're not going to look at all of them, but the very first one. And this is the very first time Jesus calls people and says, "Follow me," in Matthew's Gospel. I'll set the scene for you a bit. You've had the Matthew's Gospel, you've got his birth and angels and all sorts of things happening there with the birth of Jesus. There's a bit that we don't hear about for a while. Then we hear Jesus turns up and gets baptized. He goes out into the desert and is tempted. Then he starts to preach, and he preaches a message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And then the very next thing that he does after he's preached, after he shared that message, is to call people to follow him. These four guys that follow, who respond here. If you read around a bit, you probably suggest this is not the first. When you read Matthew straight, you think this is the first time Jesus meets them. It's a total random stranger that Jesus has just gone up to and said, "Oh, follow me." And they've left everything and followed. But the suggestion is that actually, if you read John's Gospel, there's an indication that these guys had actually been around a bit. They'd seen Jesus a few times. Maybe they were aware of him. He may have been aware of them. And then it's in that place Jesus comes with this call that it was a radical call that changed their lives and turned their circumstances upside down. Let me read to you Matthew 4, verse 17 through to 22. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They cast a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. What a response. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with his father Zebedee preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So this call to follow was not a call just to go from place to place. It was not a call just to go on a holiday with Jesus. It wasn't a call to just, you know, follow on Facebook and Instagram. I've just joined Instagram, so I follow more people than are following me. I don't know if that's not good for my ego, but who knows? I've got Alyssa was teasing me the other day because I had four followers. I've got up to 40 something now, so I'm feeling a bit better about myself. But it's not a call just to be able to see what people are doing and press a button and like what they're doing, or get the highlights of their life and just a touch. It's a call to actually, go with him for these disciples. It's a call to understand his teachings. But it's a call also to salvation and obedience to him. The natural response for these guys was that they would they were willing to leave their family, leave their nets, leave their jobs, leave everything else, and just say, "Yes, Jesus, we're obediently following you." The response to the call requires a response of obedience. We see it in these guys. They left their nets, their boats. Matthew, a little bit later in Matthew chapter 8, we see that he left his counting tables. But whatever was occupying, anyone who met with Jesus, whatever was occupying their attention and their focus, they were asked to leave that and follow Christ. What's got your attention? What's occupying your focus? Because the call to follow Jesus is to leave that and allow him to be our focus. Okay, I'm not telling you all to quit your jobs and leave your jobs. I'm not telling you all to leave your families and take off and go somewhere else, but for some of you, it might mean that. For some, it may mean actually leaving your workplace and responding to a call and then moving out from where you've lived all of your life to go to another country or another nation or another part of the world because of the call, the radical call that Jesus Christ has placed on your life. For some, that is what it does mean. For Sandra and I, it meant for both of us to leave our careers, to respond to his call to ministry. I know that's not for everybody, but that was what it meant for us. But I know for every believer, there's a radical call, whether you continue in your work or whether you continue to live in the same house, but there's this radical call to make sure that the things around us are not what are occupying and consuming our attention, but that it's Christ and his call on our life and an ability to obey him. I'm encouraged by these words in John. John said in John 10, 27, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So this is not about responding to my voice or some organizational voice or something else. This is about you as a sheep of Jesus Christ, knowing his voice and then responding with obedience. And when we do that, it's an amazing life. It's a radical time in life to be able to say, "God, I heard you and I stepped out in faith and I responded to you." Whether it's whatever that means for you. But I know that God has given each and every one of us the capacity to hear his voice. He promises it there. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." It's a response. It's a commitment to hear and obey. It's amazing. In that passage that we read in Matthew is repeated in Luke's gospel. And Luke gives us a bit more detail of how this call happened. And they're out fishing and Jesus calls them, sings out to them. He hops in their boat and they talk, and then he sends them out and go out and fishing, and they know that they've fished all night. These are fishermen. Jesus is a carpenter. Okay? This would be like me telling Hayden how to grow seeds. I don't know how to grow seeds, but he's the expert. So Jesus is telling the fishermen, he's a carpenter, he's an expert in fishing, he's giving them instruction on how to fish. They'd fished all day, they knew that there was no fish there. If there was fish to be caught, they would have caught them. So they're tired, they're exhausted, and Jesus tells them, "Cast the net on the other side," and Peter just, I think, shaking his head and going, "Oh my goodness, what's this guy on about?" Says, "Okay, but Master, because you say so, we'll obey. We've heard your voice, we'll obey." They throw the nets over the other side and they get this amazing catch. So we see the obedience of Peter to this, the call to follow. But then there's something amazing, another part of the response. And as we read in Luke 5 verse 8 down, it says, "When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people.' So they pulled up their boats onto the shore, left them, and followed Jesus." Amazing response, isn't it? A radical response to the call of Jesus. But then I see there that there's the response of obedience, but there's a response of repentance that Peter sees Jesus and realizes he gets a little glimpse of who Jesus is. Later we know that he confesses and there's these great confessions. We'll have a look at them later. But Peter was astonished by Jesus. He was just amazed by the goodness of Jesus. He was amazed by it, and his response was, "Jesus, you are so good. Go away from me." He fell to his knees in an act of worship, but saying, "Jesus, go away from me. I don't deserve to be around you because I am not good enough. I don't deserve this because I'm a sinner." But we see that he ends up following Jesus. But when was the last time you were amazed by Jesus? Where you just went, "Jesus, wow." Because when we're amazed by him, it continues to bring us to a place of worship, But that repentance of saying, Jesus, man, I need you. Jesus, man, you're amazing. I am so grateful for what you've done for me. Romans 2 verse 4 says it's God's goodness, or God's kindness in another translation, is intended to lead us to repentance. But the goodness and the grace and the favor that God shows upon us regularly is bringing us to that place of repentance. And it's the normal response to the goodness of God on our lives and around us. So when was the last time you were just amazed at Jesus? Remember taking Alyssa to the zoo when she was really little. Sorry, Alyssa. You get the brunt of all the stories today. But we took her to the zoo and she saw a giraffe in person for the first time. And she was just amazed. It's like, wow. And it just captivated her. That awe of seeing something for the first time. But when you become familiar with something, and you so become so familiar, we can lose that sense of awe and amazement for what it is. If you had giraffes living in your backyard all day, every day, seeing one at the zoo wouldn't be going, well, I've seen this. Been there, done that. Like for us, kangaroos, kangaroos. But for people coming from overseas, kangaroos and koalas, they love them and they think them there. Everyone's got to get a photo with them. But sometimes we can get like that with God. That sense of being awe of him and being amazed by him, we can lose that because we become so familiar. I think when we become so familiar, we become unrepentant, or we allow things just to carry on in our lives that shouldn't be there, that actually hinder us in our really following Christ as he would have us follow him. So when were you last amazed by Jesus? And if you need a little bit of awe and you need to be able to go, man, where I'm going, just standing in awe of Jesus Christ, ask him. At the end of the service, ask him, Jesus, I just want to be amazed by you this week. Things are a bit boring. Things are a bit normal. Things are a bit average. And I'm just going through the motions in my Christian walk, and I need to have a Peter moment that he just fell at your feet and just was amazed by what you had done and by your goodness. Jesus' goodness and his love for people is so profound, and it's so deeply ingrained into who he is and what he does, is that he can't but call people radically to follow him. There's a story in Mark chapter 10 of a rich young ruler. And you know the story. The story is that this man, on all accounts, he'd probably qualify to be on our eldership or something like that in one sense, if you judge from a human perspective, because he's obeying all the laws, he's a good Christian, he turns up every Sunday, he tithes, he gives a missions offering, he loves his wife, his kids are well behaved, everything that could possibly, you would outwardly assess as, okay, he's good, he's doing. And he comes to Jesus and says, what have I got to do to get eternal life? And let me read to you what Jesus says. Jesus looked at him and loved him. So Jesus' radical call comes from a position of love. It's not a position to hurt or harm or bring disadvantage, but it's a call because he loves so deeply. He places this radical call upon our lives and upon this young man's life. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. You say, well, Jesus, that's cruel. That guy's worked hard. He's created wealth. He's a businessman. He's done all these things. So, Jesus, that is so cruel. And I don't think the application for all of us is that we all have to sell our houses and give it to the poor. But if that's what Jesus says to you, then obey. But here, Jesus has got hold of the one thing in this man's life that is taking his place of the lordship of Jesus Christ in his life. He's saying, that one thing, that is the thing that is holding you back from following me. And Jesus, with love and compassion and goodness, says, I want you to deal with it and then follow me. Challenging. That's challenging. Because Jesus acted like that towards the rich man. It's got nothing to do with the wealth of the man. It's got to do with his attitude towards his wealth. They're saying, is that going to control you? So if Jesus did it to him, surely he will do the same thing to you and to me. Not just for the point of salvation, but even as we go through life. What are those things that we are holding on that he's saying, no, you need to let that go? And sometimes it's a quiet, still whisper where the Lord will say, I just want you to let go of this a little bit. Let go of some of those things. And other times it's a screaming loud voice that is saying, you must let this go. But as we heard in John, my sheep know my voice, I know them, they hear my voice, and they will follow me, they'll obey. So I have confidence that each one of us has the ability to hear the loving voice of Jesus Christ, not the condemning, judgmental voice, because I don't know if that voice is actually Jesus. We judge ourselves and we're critical ourselves, but the loving voice of Jesus Christ that is calling us to a higher standard, calling us to a place of submission, to say, Jesus, I'll submit to you. If you ask me to give that up, I'm willing to give it up. Because it is a call that requires a response, and one of those responses is clearly to submit to Christ. In Matthew 11, verse 28, 29 and 30, it says, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That, not sure that the rich young ruler would feel that that was the case for him. When you've just been told, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Wow. But the truth is, this is how Jesus responds. And Jesus knew that for that man, the burden that he was carrying with all that wealth, no, I've got another way for you. I've got a way of rest for you. I've got a way of peace for you. I've got a way where you submit to me, you yoke yourself, you join yourself to me, that you submit under me and follow me. Jesus doesn't want to play second fiddle. He doesn't want to be the second person in your life. He wants to be number one. Some of the teachings of Jesus are hard. They're not all easy. In John 6, there's another story. John 6, verse 66 to 69. There's a story of some disciples and people who followed Jesus, but they got to a point of actually wanting to turn back. And Jesus had laid some pretty heavy stuff on them. Basically, he'd said to them, to follow me, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and unless you're willing to do that, you can't follow me. And they basically said, well, these teachings are too hard. Jesus was really saying, they didn't get the imagery, they didn't understand what was going on, but they're saying, that's too hard. Your teachings are too hard, Jesus. This is too rough. This is too much. Surely not, Jesus. So they started to go back. They started to leave. They said, we don't want to follow this. Jesus is saying, basically, he's saying, you need to consume me. You need to consume me and be consumed by me. But these disciples, these ones that had followed Jesus around, they'd seen the miracles, they'd eaten the fish, they'd seen the healings, seen demons driven out. But when it came to the demands of Jesus Christ to eat of him and to be consumed him and to be consumed by him, they said, we don't want that. Then they started to leave. And Jesus asked the disciples this question, do you want to leave too? Do you? And you could interpret, you could read that as Jesus feeling sorry for himself and insecure. You don't want to leave too, do you? Or I see it as a Jesus with a confrontational voice. What about you guys? Are you going to go as well? Because now's the time. If you're going to go, go now. I'm not going to try and beg you to stay. I'm not going to, this is what it's required. This is the demands of following me. Are you going to respond to it? Or are you going to let it go? And then Simon Peter answers this amazing response. Lord, to whom shall we go? He says, I don't want to go to anything else. There's nothing else to go to. You have the words of eternal life. Jesus, you have it. You've got eternal life. This is where I'm finding life. going back or leaving you, it has no value. There's nothing to go back to. I don't want to go back to the boats. I don't want to go back to the fishing. We know that later he does, and we'll look at that story in a minute. Later he does, but at this point in time, say, no way, I'm not going back. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus, I've seen who you are, and I'm staying with you. Even when your teachings are hard. Some of Jesus' teachings are hard. What we do with our money. Jesus gives us clear instructions on being generous. How we spend our money. How we provide for others. How we look after others. Jesus commands us to be forgiving. That's a hard when we've been offended or hurt, but to forgive. Jesus' teachings are to love others. There are so many of his teachings that we can be challenging to our life. But Jesus says, come on, follow me, and I'm doing this because I love you. And it's a response to continue in and to persevere. It's a response to say, Jesus, I've come this far, I'm going to continue. And that's what Peter was saying. Jesus, I've come this far, I'm continuing. I've come to this place, I'm going on with you. And then there's let's have a look at Philippians 3, verse 12. This is Paul writing. He says, not that I have already obtained all this. It's like, not, I haven't got everything worked out. I haven't worked all of my salvation out or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So Paul's saying there, I'm pressing on. I'm going to continue to follow. I'm going to continue to move forward. Even though these things are coming my way, there's hard stuff at me, I'm continuing to press on and move forward. For some of you, some of you young guys, that pressing on, that there's some things coming your way at school, at work, that come your way, that challenge your thinking, challenge what's going on in your world. But Paul would say, I continue to press on. Encouragement from Paul is to press on to what Jesus Christ, for that which he has taken hold of you. He has taken hold of your life, but keep pushing forward in that. Kenny, for you, at McDonald's, that Christ has you there for a purpose. You're not there by accident, and you're not there just to make money. No, he's got you there. He's placed you there for a purpose. As we were worshiping, he just reminded me that Kenny works at KFC, and I've placed him there for a purpose. Elijah, I felt for you specifically, as I was praying this just the last couple of days, but and again this morning, that Jesus is asking you to follow him more closely. You're a follower of Jesus, I understand that. And I'm not saying about salvation, but I'm just that sense of actually Jesus is saying to you, I want you to follow me more close. There's a radical call on your life and saying, follow me more closely. And the next bit, this is what I also felt for you, is that Jesus' call for your life is something outside of the box, outside of normal. Okay? All your friends will do other things, and you might look at it and go, why don't I get to do that normal thing? But Jesus is saying for you, his call for you is outside of the normal. Not that the normal for most Christians and what they do is bad, that there's things for them, but yours is actually quite different. I just felt that. So I don't know if that lines up with words that you've had before, but take hold of that, write it down. And if it's true, others will continue to confirm that for you. But there's a radical call to you, and you'll have an opportunity to go, this is right out of the box. This is not the things that I'd been planning or thinking, but God has got something quite there for you. So does that make sense? Yeah. So my encouragement for you and for all of us, but is this next story where Jesus speaks to John. And in John's gospel, when Jesus speaks to Peter, I'll get it the right way around. So Peter's now, it's the last part of John's gospel. It's John chapter 21. It's where Jesus restores Peter. Peter swims to the shore and Jesus starts talking about sheep and feeding them and sheep and feeding them. And Peter's there eating a fish. And he says, well, I need you to follow me. Jesus said, Well, Jesus then just, before he says this, Jesus tells him, you're going to die for me. You're going to be a martyr for me. Elijah, I'm not saying that you're going to be a martyr for Jesus, but maybe, I don't know. But that's not what I'm saying. But this next little bit from this story is I want you to grab hold of as well. But John's just been told that if he follows Jesus, he's going to lose his life and he's going to be killed, not by his own choice, but people are going to take his life from him, and it's going to be a consequence of following Jesus. Pretty dangerous following Jesus. And Jesus said to this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he says to him, follow me. Not the sort of the catchy promo to get someone to be a follower of Christ, is it? You know, you're going to die for me? Now come on, now come and follow me. Not the marketing campaign. I don't see Nike or somebody using that as their marketing strategy. But he comes up with this, this is what's going to happen to you. Now follow me. Amazing. And then verse 22, and Peter's first response is, wow, I'm going to die for you if I follow you? And not saying, thank you, Jesus, I will follow you and do whatever you ask. His first response is, well, what about John? What about him? What's going to happen to him? Is he going to die as well? And Jesus' response to him is, well, that's got nothing to do with you, buddy. It's not about what happens to John. If I want him to live until I come back, so be it. But you have to follow me. So Elijah, for you, the bit that I felt from this is not to compare what God's asking you to do to what others are asked to do. Because there may be times where you go, well, that's not fair. I just want to do what somebody else is doing. But yours is out of the box. So you're going to have to say, well, yeah, I'm happy to take this on because this is what Jesus is asking me to do. But that's the case for all of us, not comparing to others. But it's a radical call that Jesus would call somebody out of, with love and compassion and all goodness, he's able to call somebody and tell them they're going to lose their life for him. That's a radical call. But Jesus calls us to be a people who are willing to step out and to radically follow. And that it really requires a response of trust. That we would trust Jesus. That Jesus, I trust you with my future. I trust you with the plans that you have for me. It's an amazing response. I trust you. But this doesn't make sense, but I trust you. This is scary for me, but I trust you. I don't like speaking to people, but you're telling me to go across the road and talk to my friend across the road. I'll go across and talk to them. I don't feel comfortable here, Jesus, but I will respond to you because that's what you've asked me to do. And not say, well, what about them? Can't you send somebody else? That person's better at this than me. Let them go. The radical call of Jesus, right at the beginning, for Peter and the other disciples that were with him, it was a call. Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It was a call for purpose. It was a call, yes, to follow, but then it was also a sending call. It was a call to come close, but a call to go out as well. And that's the call for each one of us. It's a radical call that we're called to draw closer to Christ, but also to be people who have been sent out to be fishermen, to fish for people, to draw people closer to Christ. And Matthew, right at the end of Matthew's gospel, Matthew starts his gospel with calling people to him and saying, I'll send you out. And at the very end of Matthew's gospel, the disciples are sent out. We know this is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So there's a massive promise of his power, a massive promise of his presence, but then there's also our part that we play. Be nice if Jesus, you can do all this. You don't need us to be part of this. Jesus, could you just get it sorted? You've got the power and you've got the presence. You can go and do it. But he actually, in the middle of that, is our response to his call to follow and then to go out and draw people to Christ, to draw people to him, to whatever, in whatever setting. And that word go there, I know as missionaries it's used to go to nations and go overseas, but that word go actually mean as you go, to work, as you go home, as you go to McDonald's, as you go to school, as you go and look after your grandkids, as you drop the kids off at school, as you're going about life, as we're following Christ, as we're drawing closer to Him, that we would actually be radically responding to that sense of, Lord, teach me to fish. Let me go and be your hands and your feet. Let me speak your word to draw people closer to you. Because it's a radical call that Jesus promises to back up with his power and his presence, but we have the important job of responding in the middle. And it's my heart that each one of us would continue to respond to that. I'm preaching to myself today. Because it stirs me. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be submitted to you. I want to be repentant. I want to be in awe of you. I want to trust you. But I also want to be what you promised. I want to respond to your radical call, which was a call to follow, but it was also a call that was sending me out. It was a call to the church to come close to him, but also be people that were sent out into the world to be his hands and his feet. I'm going to just close in a prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for your radical call. But it's not just a lovey-dovey call. It's not just a lovey-dovey, come to me and everything's going to be nice and perfect. But it's a call that demands a response from us. And Jesus, I pray, as you said in John's Gospel, that your sheep, they know you, you hear your voice, and that they would follow you. And Lord, I pray for each one of us, that we would hear your voice and follow. And Lord, we know that throughout the Gospels, as people followed you, they came closer to you, but you also sent them out. They drew close to you, but you sent them out into a lost and dying world. Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice and respond to your call, but also respond in obedience to be sent out, to speak that word, to share that story, to draw people to you. Jesus, as we're just sitting here, just very conscious of your presence being here. Jesus, I said earlier that as Peter was just amazed by you, that there's some here today that you're just feeling like, and there's some online, that you're just feeling like you haven't been amazed by Jesus for some time. I think just Christianity has become a bore, and you haven't been amazed by him. And Jesus would say to you, just ask me to amaze you. Ask me to amaze you this week. If that's you, you speak to Jesus now. Speak to him now. Say, Jesus, I want to be amazed by you this week. Amaze me. Because things have got a bit dry. Things have got a bit normal. I've become so familiar that I'm just going through the motions. And I want to be amazed by you so that I can respond in faith and trust and worship to you. There's others of you that I just feel as well, the Lord's prompted you. Yeah. I'm drawing close to Jesus, but that being sent out, that sharing my faith, that talking to somebody, to taking a step of faith has been lacking in the last bit of time. And you're saying, yeah, no, I want to do that again. I remember when I used to do it and I loved it and I want to do it again. I want to invite somebody I know who doesn't follow Jesus and I want to invite them for dinner. I want to bring somebody close to me. If that's you, picture that person in your mind. Say, Jesus, give me the courage to step out. Give me the courage to go across the room, to speak a word, to invite them to my house, to at least start a conversation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just as we're reflecting, Tara's going to lead us in a song. As she leads us in this song, I'd love you just to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. That I have absolute confidence. You're a believer and you're his sheep, and the sheep know his voice, and his voice is going to speak to you as you just listen to the words of Tara and you just draw close to him.